Hi, this is Greg McCoy with RE/MAX Unlimited Real Estate, and thanks for joining us for our podcast today. We are recording this on March 3rd, 2009, and our topic is the new tax credit for first-time homebuyers. My guest today is Mark Delby, who is a senior manager with the accounting firm of Clifton Gunderson. Thanks for being with us today, Mark.
Thank you.
And we're in the middle of tax season, so I'm sure you guys are extremely busy, so I appreciate very much that you took the time to come in and be with us. Our first question today, again, our topic is the new tax credit for first-time homebuyers. Could you start out by just giving us a brief summary of what is a tax credit versus a tax deduction?
Yes, the difference between a tax deduction and a tax credit is incremental in the tax law. Number one, the tax credit would offset your tax liability dollar for dollar versus a tax deduction, which would only offset your tax liability from an incremental standpoint. A tax deduction would reduce your taxable income. However, that is just the starting point of calculating your tax liability, whereas a tax credit is determined after the fact and would offset your tax liability, again, dollar for dollar.
Okay, so in other words, the tax credit is much better than tax deduction.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. A tax credit is worth a lot more in the eyes of the taxpayer versus a tax deduction.
So tax credit, however much the taxpayer qualifies for, say $5,000, they get that entire amount as opposed to just reducing your taxable income by that amount.
That is correct. And as it relates to the first-time homebuyer credit, one point of importance is that this is what they call a refundable credit. Versus other credits which are only available to offset your tax liability to the extent of your tax liability, the first-time homebuyer credit is a refundable credit, which means that it can not only offset your tax liability, the difference is refundable to you as a taxpayer.
That's a very nice feature.
It is very nice.
So could you give us just a basic rundown of the basic structure of this tax credit?
Absolutely. The tax credit has gained popularity, has been around for a while now. It was actually introduced last year with the Housing Assistance Act of 2008. And although termed a credit last year, what in effect it was an interest-free loan. If you look at the credit again in 08, it was 10% of the purchase price of the home up to a credit of $7,500. And that credit was to be repaid by the taxpayer interest-free for the next 15 years after the purchase of your home. In 2009, with the most recent tax act, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, they altered the first-time homebuyer credit, several aspects of it. Most importantly, they've increased the credit from $7,500 to $8,000. And again, a very important feature, the credit is no longer a interest-free loan. It is a true credit in that it does not need to be paid back.
So the old one, you had to pay it back. The new one, you do not have to pay it back.
Yes. However, there are, as in with tax law, there are numerous issues that you must meet.
It's never that simple.
It's never that simple. That is correct. But the hurdles that you have to jump through to keep the $8,000 are much easier than under the previous act in 2008.
All right, so who basically is eligible for this credit?
When you strip it down, it is really available to individuals and individuals only, which makes sense because the credit is only for primary residences. So individuals, when this is their first home, and again, the tax code has a different determination of who would be a first-time home buyer than what maybe the common person walking the street would have. In the IRS's eyes, anybody who has not owned a primary residence within the last 36 months would be considered a first-time home buyer.
Now, what if that person owned some rental property but did not own a personal residence?
They would still continue to qualify. Let's say that we had a taxpayer or a client who owned rental real estate but did not live there but was renting an apartment somewhere else, waiting for the right time to jump in to purchase a home. He would still be considered, as long as he had not owned a primary residence within the last 36 months, he would still be considered a first-time home buyer in the eyes of the tax code.
Okay, and in the case of a married couple, do both individuals have to meet this test?
Yes. So both individuals would have to meet the test.
Okay, so in the case of, for example, two people getting married, and buying a house, if coming into the marriage, one of them already owned a personal residence, they would not qualify.
That is correct.
And what type of property is eligible for this type of credit?
Any property that could be considered a taxpayer's primary residence. So, of course, the first thing you would think of would be the traditional house. However, the IRS has allowed this tax code act to be applied to condominiums, houseboats, mobile homes, if that's your primary residence. So there's more than just the traditional brick and mortars home.
All right. Well, assuming a person qualifies for this credit, what is the process of actually getting the money?
The process of obtaining the tax credit is relatively easy. You would apply for it on a Form 5405, which you would complete and submit with your current year tax return, your 2009 tax return.
I assume that form shows up in standard tax preparation software like TurboTax.
It would show up with a TurboTax or a Tax Act software.
Okay. Now, I think it's important for the listeners to understand this differentiation here, that this is a tax credit, and therefore, as Mark just said, you get it by filing your taxes. It's part of the process of filing your taxes. You do not receive this money at the time of closing. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, this is a little different from a grant program. For example, the listeners may be aware that there are a variety of grant programs out there. For example, there is a City of Peoria grant program that allows first-time home buyers who meet income restrictions and so forth to receive a certain amount of grant money for help in putting their down payment down. That money, the grant money, does appear at closing. They get the money at closing. Tax credits, you do not get at closing. It's an important distinction to remember.
Yes.
Now, how about income restrictions? I assume that if you're a multimillionaire, you don't get access to this money.
That is absolutely correct. The income limits did not change from the prior tax act to this act, and so effectively, single taxpayers with adjusted gross income in excess of $75,000 or joint filers, married filing joint, with incomes in excess of $150,000, the credit would phase out beginning at those amounts. And it actually phases out at a $20,000 rate. So taxpayers in between $75,000 and $95,000 for single, that credit would phase out in between $75,000 and the $95,000.
Okay, I want to expand on a point that you made earlier, Mark. One of the differences between this new credit and the old credit was that the old credit, you had to pay it back. Is that correct?
That is correct. Effectively, the old credit was called a credit, but again, what it really was an interest-free loan. You were giving up to 10% of the cost of the first-time home purchase, or $7,500, the lesser of those two, and that was paid back over 15 years interest-free. So what that would do was create a filing obligation for many taxpayers that didn't have a filing obligation before. They would solely be required to file to report that recapture amount, that recapture of tax. Under the new Tax Act, what they have done is they have altered the vesting period, if you will, of what you need to do to qualify to keep the $8,000. And where the other credit you had to pay back anytime if you sold your house or had any other disposition within 15 years, you had to recapture the amount of credit that you hadn't paid back yet. Under the new Tax Act, as long as you maintain that house as your personal residence for 36 months, the $8,000 is yours to keep. So if you would happen to move out, say, in 5 years, there would be no payback because it's not an interest-free loan and you had met the vesting requirements.
Well, that's another very good feature of this tax credit. So it behooves anyone taking advantage of this tax credit to know the exact date of the expiration of that payback period.
That is correct. You'll be wanting to track your 36 months accordingly.
You wouldn't want to sell your house 35 and a half months into this thing.
No. That would not be approved from a tax perspective.
That's very good to know. And one more point comes to mind. I think you touched on this earlier, but let's review it. This tax credit is refundable. And again, that's a term that I'm not sure everybody would understand. But could you go over what it means when, say, someone is making $30,000, $40,000 a year, their total tax liability might be we'll throw out a number, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 total taxes that they owe. If their tax credit under this program was $6,000, what would happen to that money?
Well, under your set of facts there, we'll say that our tax liability is $3,000, and we purchased a home, and we were a first-time home buyer. And again, using your example, we had a $6,000 credit. On our return, we would reflect the $3,000 liability, and we would reflect the $6,000 credit. The $3,000 difference would actually be refunded to us, because it is a refundable credit. And again, this is different from other credits in the tax code. Many credits in the tax code are set to only refund to you to the extent of your tax liability. So a refundable credit, again, I think you're right, Greg. It's very important that people understand this is refundable.
So in other words, that buyer is going to get their full amount of money through the tax credit regardless of how much tax they owe or don't owe.
That is correct. If their tax liability was zero, they would still get money back.
Great. Okay, do you have any final comments before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's good. I think it's important to understand the importance of this credit and the magnitude of it for first-time homebuyers. It is certainly one of the more positive attributes of the Stimulus Act. It, as we have mentioned, will put money directly into taxpayers' pockets, money that can be used to stimulate the economy, stimulate the depressed housing market, stimulate the local economy. I think it's good that we get this out to people, and if they have any questions, I think, you know, they could call either yourself or myself, and we could help them.
One more question does come to mind. I don't think we touched on this. What is the time frame of this tax credit? And of course, understanding tax law changes all the time.
That's right.
So there's no guarantee that it's not going to change.
Tentatively, credit is scheduled to run. It will terminate for purchases made after November 30th, 2009. So you have until November 30th to find a property, purchase a property that will qualify as a first-time homebuyer.
And close on property. Yeah. So the closing date is what we're talking about, the November 30th date?
Yes, that is correct.
Not the date that you sign a purchase contract, but
that's right.
The actual date of closing.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Mark. Again, my guest has been Mark Dalby, a senior manager with the accounting firm of Clifton Gunderson. Appreciate your time today, Mark.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. You guys have a good day.